Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Kaboom!
If you thought 4 hours a day, 1,200 minutes a week was enough, think again. He's the last remnants of the old republic. A sole bastion of fairness. He treats crackheads in the ghetto gutter the same as the rich pill poppers in the penthouse.
Wow.
The clearinghouse of hot takes break free for something special. The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller starts right now.
In the air, everywhere. Back at it on a Saturday. We thank you for downloading, supporting the Fifth Hour podcast, a big Bafo Sacco show. If you are not entertained, you get your money back. The price of admission is nothing. You just have to have an internet connection and find the show on the World Wide Web. But we are here 8 days a week because 4 hours a night on the overnight, not enough. And this is all the things that we did not have time to get to in the radio show. And joined again by West of the 405, David Gascon.
A rather raucous ovation. I guess it's been a long time since we've been back here in the magic box, but
it has been a long time, and it would have been longer if I didn't have to twist your arm a little.
Yeah, we took 3 weeks off because you wanted to take 3 weeks off, so it wasn't my decision.
That's a lie.
I was here for the holidays.
The first week I wanted to do it, you didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
The second week, I didn't want to do it. You didn't want to do it. So we would have been one. And then this last week, I was planning on doing it. And then, life got in the way.
Yeah.
You know, life happens while you're making plans, right?
That's right. That's right.
Sometimes life happens you don't want to happen, and it happens.
I was a little down because you typically would send me a daily picture of your local pharmacy, your doctor's office, that would have a line miles down the road with people looking for
tested
shots.
Yeah. That's not going to happen anymore, Gascon. Big news here. Breaking news on this podcast. This is before my father unfortunately got sick and passed away. But before that, I made a big purchase. A big purchase, Gascon. I now own a treadmill. I own a treadmill. At the Maller Mansion, I have my own treadmill.
Wow.
Which means I will not be going outside walking. Yeah, there's this testing facility for the Rona that's right near the house, and I would walk by there, and the line would be for the last month, the line has been all the way around the block and down the block. And so I would take photos every day to show you, Gascon, and say I still can't believe how long that, and the line's still there. I drive by it, it's still long. And now, who's paying for it? Is the government pay for the test? Right, the tests are free. The coronavirus tests are free.
We're paying for it one way or another.
Well, that's what I'm saying. No, I was trying to think, like, because it's a small medical clinic that's doing the testing near where I live. They must be making a killing, right? They're getting a share of that, right?
Yeah.
I would think.
Yeah, it has to be.
Yeah, they must be the richest people in the neighborhood. But I did buy the treadmill. I'm excited about it. I had to pick it up, though, and drive it back to the Maller Mansion. I borrowed my father-in-law's truck, and me and the kid, we went out there. We put the thing in the back of the truck, and I'd never tied anything down on the back of a truck ever. Certainly something not this big that could fly out and kill someone. So I picked it up in Orange County, and you know where I live. I don't say where I live, but I live a pretty good distance away from there.
East of the 405.
Yes, way east of the 405, closer to Riverside than you. So anyway, I'm making my trek back, and I decided I did not trust that I had tied this thing down properly, even though it seemed like it was tied down properly. It's a massive, huge treadmill. So I took surface streets all the way back. I did not get on the interstate, the highway there. I took surface streets. I drove slow. I drove in the slow lane. People were passing me by. I was the old guy, you know, that everyone hates and all that. I was that guy. But I made it back. But then the problem was the thing wouldn't fit into the house. It's a big treadmill. So I had to get my neighbor, my guy Tony, had to come over, my neighbor. He's a good handyman guy. I'm not that good with that kind. So we had to take apart the treadmill to get it into the house. It's that big a thing. It would not fit through the door.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah. But I love it. I can go on there, you know, I can do 10, 15 minutes here, there, you know, and it's pretty cool.
This is a dangerous proposition for you, though.
Why?
Because not only are you domesticated by being married, but now you're really hunkered down. You're confining yourself.
That is true. The only time I would get out of the house was to go for a walk.
And Costco.
So now I don't get out of the house. Now I just stay in the house all the time.
You don't go to Costco anymore either, right?
No, I go to Costco usually once a week on the weekends. But I used to go there religiously every weekend to just eat samples.
Yeah.
I would go on a sample run. I would hit two or three Costcos on a Saturday morning afternoon eating the sample.
Yeah. This is dangerous for you. I don't know how I feel about it just yet, because it's good work and you can obviously elevate the treadmill and increase speeds and decrease it at any given time. And
yeah,
you could see your calories being reduced, but you're not out there with Mother Nature anymore. You're not out and about. You're not.
I mean, I guess I should a couple days still go for a walk.
Yeah. With your dog, right?
No. Bella's not a walking dog. Bella's a lap dog.
Oh.
Bella does not believe in any physical exercise, but Bella does believe in waking me up. That is true.
Yeah,
the, you know, randomly I sleep during the day. Like, yeah, it's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Do you have a dog, Jessica? You don't have a dog.
I do not. Sisters do. We used to have one as kids, but no dog right now. Too much taken care of.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well. Get like a small, you know, if you get a big dog, you get a small dog.
Yeah, but big dogs, little dogs, they all take big shits.
No, the little dogs don't take big shits. They just shit a lot.
Yeah.
Meaning often little small shits.
Yeah, but then they shed and you're going to buy them food and wash them and walk them.
No, Bella doesn't shed that much. The Shih Tzus don't shed that much. Poodles don't shed at all, I believe. I don't think they shed at all.
That's not a very masculine dog. I can't be rocking a Shih Tzu.
Well, who the fuck cares?
I do.
You're a middle-aged man. Who cares?
I can't rock a poodle either. You're not
20 years old worried about trying to get chicks.
Like a border collie or a pit bull or a Rottweiler. Like, those are dogs. Maybe a wolf. How about that?
Let me tell you something. I don't know if dog parks are open, but that used to be a place. My buddies used to go with the dog to pick up the ladies because they love asking questions about the dogs.
That's great. Instant chick magnet, right?
Yeah.
That's good.
Well, that's also a sign your relationship's getting serious. Guess again, when you're dating someone for a while and they're like, let's get a dog together. That's a sign.
Would you rather do that, though, or have them move in with you?
How old am I? What's the situation? What's my living situation?
I'm going to say this is pre your wife.
Yeah, it was a tough adjustment. I had my routine. I was a bachelor for a long time.
Yes, you were the heart of L.A.,
yeah, I was living in L.A., living my best life, going to games, eating junk food, living wonderfully, and it was a little difficult.
I think it took a while.
I'm used to it now. I think if I went back, I would have a hard time, like, to the bachelor lifestyle, so I would, I'm so used to my routine now.
Yeah, that's a real challenge. Dog is one thing, especially if you get attached, but man, if you move in with her, she moves in with you, that's a tough break whenever the relationship does come to its demise.
Yeah, then the dog ends up in the kennel, right? The dog's like, oh, I will send the dog to the kennel and get rid of it, that kind of thing. Right?
I think you're more inclined to give it to the female, or at least she'll ask for it because she knows that'll break you.
Well, there's a lot of vitriol that takes place, right? The feuding and all that. All right, so we have on this edition of the podcast, we have Pop Quiz, Jessica. Mm-hmm. Big Pop. Are you excited about? Is there anything else you would like to get to before Pop Quiz? Is there anything else on your agenda here?
No.
Anything you've been saving? We've been away for 3 weeks. Did you do anything over the 3 weeks? I went to Sequoia, and I had a wonderful time, and it was just great. And I love going to I was in the snow for a few days and had a really good time. And I love the Giant Forest, one of my favorite places to visit. So I had a good time. Did you go anywhere? Did you do anything?
I went to the firing range a couple times.
Oh,
kept my trigger finger happy.
How much do bullets cost? I have no idea. You go to the firing range?
Yeah, you don't.
How's it work? Do you have to bring your own bullets?
The trick is, it's just like when you go to Vegas and you go to the casino. Don't do it when you don't have any money, because if you go to an ATM, you know they're charging you $4 or $5 a transaction. If you go to a store first and then buy them and then go to the range, you're in much better shape. So like a box.
So you go to the range with your gun, obviously. And how's it work? You have the bullets with you, or you buy them there? You have to buy them there.
How's it? No, work? Yeah. If you buy them there, they're a lot more expensive than if you buy them at a store. So I always buy them at a store, bring them with you. Obviously, goggles, some ear gear, and then your weapon. They'll usually provide you with a couple targets free of charge, and then if you want to buy some specialized targets, it's usually like $1 or $2.
Yeah,
depending on that. So certain ranges, though, are strict. Like, they only allow you to sit in there and fire for 30 minutes. Others will be in there for an hour. And then they obviously keep, you know, separation 6 feet apart. So every other lane is occupied, just like a bowling lane. And, okay. But, yeah.
Bowling alleys are closed, though.
Are they?
I didn't know that the shooting ranges were open. They are open.
Yeah. Huh? Oh, yeah. Indoor, some outdoor. I haven't been to an outdoor in a while.
So, but a box of bullets, how much does that cost?
So, for 100 rounds, it was about $86 when I bought them back in July, August.
It's pricey, though.
It is. It's supply and demand. But I went a couple days ago, and a box of 100 now is like $65.
Okay. So, it's gone down a little.
Yeah, it certainly has. So,
buy those on Amazon or?
No, just local stores. Yeah, because the other thing, too, it's a kicker, is if you're in the state of California, you can't buy magazines that allow you to have more than 10 bullets in a magazine. We have restrictions here in the state.
Oh, okay.
So, you're limited to 10 bullets per magazine.
So, you have to go to, like, Oklahoma or Alabama or somewhere.
Nevada, wherever it may be, yeah. But if you do that, that's the other thing. You have to claim residency there. So, it's a whole process. And then on top of that, when you buy bullets, you actually have to go through a background check. They do a background check that usually takes, like, 15 minutes or so when you're there. And then they'll allow you to buy the bullets after that. But it's $1 every time you do a background check, too. So, it's a whole process.
That's a lot of red tape, man.
Yeah. Anyone that says buying a gun is easy doesn't know what the fuck they're talking about.
Well, if you do it legally, it's easy. If you do it on the street, it's not that. But I'm saying, like, you know, you know, guy, you know, there's a black market for guns. You can find a gun.
Yeah, but when I purchased my first weapon, it took me nearly 45 days.
Yeah, but I'm saying you did it legally. You went through a gun shop. I'm saying, like, most of the, I guess I'm going down that road, but I would assume a lot of the guns that are used to do really nasty things are not bought legally. You know what I mean? Yeah. They're bought via back channels, and they're people avoiding Big Brother who knows somebody to get around those obstacles.
Yeah, no, that's true. 100%. I did call a couple of college basketball games, and I had to do it with a mask on. How about that?
Oh, that is very Al Michaels of you.
Oh, my gosh.
Remember when Al Michaels was supposed to do it?
In San Francisco, right?
Yeah. In Santa Clara County. Geniuses in Santa Clara County thought Al Michaels sitting by himself in a booth thousands of feet away from anyone that he needed to have a mask on.
Yeah, we were actually not permitted to be courtside. We had to go all the way up the stands. And me and the color commentator were probably a good 25 feet apart on these elevated tables.
Yeah.
And we had to do stand-ups, which are basically like the on-camera shots. We had to do those separated, and we had to do those with our mask on and then call the action with our mask on, too.
Yeah. And the arena is empty. There's no fans.
Nobody there. Yeah, nobody
How
there.
Weird was it to call a game? I would be self-conscious because I'd think the players are hearing what I'm saying.
So I did that last year during the Big West Conference tournament. We were courtside. I was actually one of the final games to call that night before they shut everything down, and I was loud as fuck. And I was doing a radio call, and during the radio call, the people that were on TV for ESPN, they came over to me, and they're like, hey, can you tone it down? Your call's bleeding into our on-air call. I was like, fuck no.
That's outstanding. Yeah. And I'm glad you don't care, because I remember when I was doing those stringing reports and covering baseball and stuff. In the press box, the way it works, the first two rows were the writers, and then the back row were the people that dunce capped, the radio guys, radio row, right? Yeah. It was in the back. So you call into a radio station back when they used to do these things at the top, bottom of the hour, and you'd be screaming for like 30, 40 seconds, you know, giving details of the score. And it would always upset the writers. In fact, some of the cities on the East Coast, when I was traveling with the Dodgers, I know in New York and several other places, they segregated the press box. They had the writers had their own press box, and the radio TV guys had a separate press box to keep the radio guys, because the writers were such douchebags, they could not handle 30-second updates. It was too distracting for them for these Pulitzer Prize-winning stories about a Phillies game or a, you know, an Orioles game. I was like, really?
Game 98 of 162.
Yeah. Which, you know, be honest, the game story. I know they don't even do many game stories these days, but who the hell was reading that, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You look at the box score. You want to see the other stuff that was going on. You weren't reading the game story. Yeah. Forget about that. My goodness.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I was navigating around the social media universe and doing some homework. I thought Benny versus the Penny in the NFL regular season was good. And what were your closing thoughts on that?
Oh, I thought it was pretty good. I enjoyed doing it. I figured out kind of the way that the internet needed to work after about 12, 13 weeks. I finally figured out what we needed to do there to scheme up the internet. And yeah, it was good. We had a good group of loyal brigadier generals in the Mallard militia that left the radio show and the podcast. And you really are like the 1% of the 1% if you're hanging out with us on a Friday night on YouTube. And yeah, the audience grew. We had more people watching as the season went on, and a lot of people didn't even watch it live. And the chat was a big selling point where we would read the comments, even though you were annoyed I kept reading so many comments. But that was a pathway to get more people involved. And then people would listen to our sacred picks, or my sacred picks, throughout the weekend. So it was fun. I know we're talking about doing some other things and all that. I because of my situation with my dad, my weekends pretty much for the rest of time apparently are going to be to take care of his affairs and to clean out the Mallard family house and all that. So I only have a couple of days, so I don't know that we'll be able to do that anytime soon. But when we do, we'll you know, there's other sports that we can do, Benny versus Benny. I would like to do it at least for the Super Bowl if we can't.
Yeah.
You know, we can't do it up until then. I was only a couple of weeks of football before the Super Bowl, but I'd like to do that. And it was a lot of fun. You and my wife convinced me to get a green screen, which was a big step in my life. And I have that. I own a green screen, so I feel cool and all that. And
you had the attire, and then you got ridiculed for some unknown reason of wearing an Iowa Hawkeye hat. There was some good headway that we made, and it was a lot of fun. I think that the Super Bowl would be a good one, and always random when you see dudes on a chat criticizing the host for what they're wearing or what they look like. It's just odd to me, right?
It's human nature, right? People are like to bust each other's balls. Anyway, that's what we do in the Mallard militia. We bust each other's balls, but you know, you look at the tenets of human nature, and vanity is one of them, right?
Yeah.
Like laziness, you try to find the easy road. Greed, you want to get the most you can get. That's why you supersize your fast food meal. Ambition, although not everyone seems to have that this day. Self-interest, ignorance, and vanity. Those are the six characteristics of human nature. But vanity is a big part. So if you can attack someone else's vanity, right, their appearance, or you know, they don't have money, or they don't, you know, they're not intelligent. That's a big attack.
Yeah.
That's how social media exists, is for people to attack other people's vanity.
Yeah, carried over into politics. I think that it'll be huge when you're all done with what you're doing at your dad's.
Yeah,
I think you're gonna have to attend a couple trade shows. Something just tells me you're gonna have some really good stuff. Storage wars with Ben Mallard.
Yeah. We were debating like how much of that. I have so much that I could sell, but it takes such a long time to do it.
Yeah.
And you got to have storage for it. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts, like a pinball machine, right? A lot of moving parts to it to get it done. So we'll find out how motivated I am. But I did find my parents. My mom had passed away in 2013, and my dad just kind of didn't touch anything. You know, he's like, he wanted the house the same way, wanted to live in the house till he died, and I'm glad he was able to do that. But he didn't clean much, and so it was really, it's like a Mallard museum, my house, going through it. And, you know, my mom was very sentimental and kept everything, and so it's been interesting seeing stuff. I mean, the photos are obviously the most important. So a lot of that stuff's covered in, you know, dust or whatever, in the closet, buried in the closet and all that. So
did they,
by the way, I would like to thank your old man. Very nice. note from your father,
yeah,
the patriarch of the Gascon family, and very kind of him to send that.
Yeah, the David Gascon family, not the George.
Yes,
Gascon.
not the George Gascon.
Listen, we're not good with officers getting shot at in the head and then allowing them to walk scot-free. So we're a little bit different here.
How not good for you, but how the comedy value that your father, a respected member of law enforcement, the LAPD, I ran the LAPD for a few years, and. And now here's this guy.
Hold my beer.
Get the same name who's apparently doesn't believe in law and order and wants bad guys to run free. So it's interesting. Interesting juxtaposition, I would say. Yes?
I knew I was in deep shit when Ruben got off that podcast a few weeks ago. It was like, you need to change your name. Holy shit. Man.
Yeah. Well, it is something when you're just like the district attorney is a local position typically, right?
Yeah.
It's not a national position. So when the nation is talking about what an incompetent stooge this guy is, you know you've reached a special level of insanity. When people all over the country, can you believe what this idiot in L.A. is doing with the, oh my goodness.
We might have a DA in L.A. and a governor in California recall them the same year.
Oh, be wonderful.
What the fuck?
I fully support. You know, they can have the recall vote can be at the French Laundry. They can have that.
Jesus.
They can have a voting, because that's where he likes to eat his meals. When he tells everyone not to go out, he can go there.
Yeah. It's a wild times, man.
King of all douchebags, the governor of California, with a wink and a nod to the governor of New York and several other locales.
Speaking of the news, was your dad a newspaper collector? Was he?
He did keep. You know, my dad collected pennies and stamps. He liked a few coins, stamps. His dad, my grandfather, his father, obviously was a stamp collector. So that my dad, he picked that up. You know, I'm trying to think of some ways I can honor my father. You know, because he's not around anymore, and I became pretty close with him. I wasn't as close growing up. I was a mama's boy, but then. The last few years since my mom passed, I talked to him every night and became very close. I'm trying to think of like ways to honor my dad. So he wore suspenders. So I think when I dress up, I'm going to wear suspenders. So people rip me and goof on me, but I'm going to wear suspenders now as a tribute to my dad. And then I'm going to donate blood. My dad loved donating blood. And it was always odd to me because I was like, of all the things, of all the mission guys donating blood, but it was like a connection to his father because my grandfather also donated blood. And so every 3 months, my dad would donate blood and with the Red Cross, and it was his deal. And he got very upset a few years back because he was on some medicine that would not allow him to donate blood.
Mm-hmm.
So he was able to get off that medicine, and this was like a big deal to him. Even when he was sick, before he passed, I didn't think he was going to pass. It was unexpected. I thought he would be okay, but we were having normal conversations and he was like, I got to donate blood, the whole thing. So I'm going to donate blood. But my dad, I was kidding with my brothers. We were like, if only our father had collected, dollar bills instead of pennies, we'd be much better off. we'd be much better off. And he also, my dad loved, $2 bills.
Yes.
He loved $2 bills. And so I, for the rest of my life, however long that is, I will always have a $2 bill in my wallet as a tribute to my old man, because he loved the expressions he would get when he'd go to buy something at the store, which was like a buck, and he'd give the person at the check, especially in recent years, he'd give him the $2 bill. And a lot of people had no idea. They thought it was fake.
Yeah.
Because who the hell, a lot of people don't even realize there's a $2 bill. And so he always loved the reaction he would get out of people when he'd hand them a $2 bill to pay for something. This is not real. So
I love $2 bills. I do think that you carrying on his legacy is kind of fitting. If he's a penny collector and you do Benny versus the penny.
That is true. That is accurate. I have as many pennies. I was getting around with the wife and my brothers, talking about my dad. I said, I believe now we can end the national coin shortage with all the pennies that my dad collected over the years, and these big jugs of like these apple juice jugs filled with pennies, which I think each jug probably maybe has, I don't know, $10 in it, but it's a lot, it's probably more than that, but a lot of. All right, so we have pop quiz. You want to get the pop quiz right now? All right, here we go. Pop quiz. And these are things that we find around the internet that we quiz Gascon on, and you too can play along. So the first person, the number one person in the world in this sport has earned over $9 million in prize money. What sport is it?
In prize money.
Over $9 million. Do, 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 do,
chess.
Do. Chess. All right. That is incorrect. Darts.
All right.
Darts. There must be some places where darts are a big deal. But to me, darts are always like you're eating beer nuts at the bar and you're with your buddies and let's go play darts. You
know, got to be big in Europe, right? Europe or in Ireland?
Yeah.
I mean, Europe or Ireland. England,
Ireland.
England
is part of that.
England, England or Ireland.
I've got to know. Maybe. When was the last time you played darts?
I haven't played darts since I lived in San Diego. A bunch of my buddies were all former Marines, and so they'd go to a local dive, and it was always, like you said, peanuts and darts, shuffleboard, and a little Galaga. Never failed with those cats.
We had a dart board at one of the ugly sweater parties one year, and there were a few people playing darts, but I don't know what happened to that dart board. Somewhere around here. All right. According to a new survey, nearly 50% of people admit that they talk to this inanimate object. What is it?
Remote control.
No. My guess was wrong. I guessed a slot machine. You're like, you're in a casino and you're like, come on, big money. But it was actually an ATM machine, which is kind of like a slot machine, except you have to have the money to come out of the machine. You know,
so. Why would you talk to an ATM machine, though?
It's a great question. I don't know. What would the...
Well, the remote control, it's like, why the fuck isn't this thing working? The battery's working. Move, you stupid channel. You know.
Start shaking it.
Right.
That's a good question. I don't know. It doesn't say. All right. According to a recent study, this coming Monday, January the 18th, is the best day of the year to do this. It's Martin Luther King Day, by the way.
Yeah. Barbecue.
Buy a car.
Wait, why?
I guess they have the sale. I don't know. It just says that's the day of all the days of the year. Doesn't make sense to me either, right? Wouldn't you think like the summertime? Most people buy cars. Maybe it's because most people do buy cars during the summer.
Yeah.
And not in mid-January.
Yeah, they say the best time to buy a house is usually during the holiday season, because people don't want to sell their homes during the holiday season, or they don't want to go through the whole gamut of doing that kind of a transaction. So they usually just kind of lower their guard a little bit. Springtime, summertime.
Well, the housing market's out of control, which is odd because it seems like a lot of people leaving California, but the housing market is still insanity.
Man, we got a lot of people that are migrating east. Utah, Idaho,
Texas, Florida,
Nevada, Arizona.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I don't blame them. I don't blame them.
Yeah.
In fact, the neighbor that I grew up with, and she lives in the same house that my parents owned, and she's leaving. She's going to Dallas. She's been in California her whole life. She's moving to Dallas. She's had enough of King Newsom and all the bullcrap rules. I said, I'm jealous. I said, I am jealous.
I got a cousin that lives in Idaho. And he told me that over the last couple of weeks, he had two people, neighbors, that sold their houses to other people from California. And those people came in with all cash offers.
Whoa, really? Interesting.
And they just said they need to get the fuck out of town. I was like, where are they coming from? He said San Francisco.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. All right. The grand championship for this sport. Something that pretty much all of us have done is held every year in Michigan. Something pretty much everyone has done. I don't know that you would. It's not a traditional sport. How about that?
Yeah. Not a traditional. I can't say something whack like croquet, badminton.
Well, you said those. I like that you said you can't say them while you said them.
Well, I know, but as a guess. I don't know. Hacky sack.
No. Stone skipping.
That's good, though.
Hasn't every kid done that, though? You go to the lake or the ocean. You're like, all right, let me see if I can throw the rock and have it skip across the the way there.
Yeah, Lake Arrowhead is a good spot to do that up near where we're at.
Tahoe?
Yeah. Tahoe's like an 8-hour drive, but it's a good, they got fresh powder up there too, so wintertime or summer, it's good.
Yeah, Tahoe's, do you like the Nevada side or the California side?
I like the Nevada side.
Because they have gambling.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, in the 1920s, we ate about 20 pounds of this a year. Now it's only about 6 pounds. From 20 to 6?
Cabbage.
Cabbage. All right, no, that's incorrect. Butter. Butter, 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 butter.
Yeah, I've been experimenting. I'm glad you brought that up. I've been experimenting a lot using butter more and then sometimes less on steaks.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. And my steak game is A+ now. It was good. It was B, like, B+, but now it's A. It's really...
Sound kind of like an elitist there. This
No, it's not. I mean, the cooking is elite, yes. The skills are refined. You'd be proud of me.
I don't know that it, proud would be the adjective that I would use, but you do sound pretentious, I think, is the word.
No, it has nothing to do with that.
Like a snob.
Anyone who's anyone could cook a steak.
But shouldn't it be something you don't advertise and it just people find out about it because you cook them the steak?
Oh, yeah. Like, that's a really in today's
steak.
World.
You've just broadcast it, so you sound like a douche.
In today's world, how many people are getting together for a fine meal or any kind of meal?
Apparently some are. I don't know what's going on. They're having their power shut off.
Would you rat out a neighbor if they had a party of like 40 or 50 people?
No, I would not.
Yeah.
Would you?
Fuck no. I'd probably go join.
Oh, there's always that crowd, though. Every neighborhood's got it. The busybody.
Yeah.
All right, the busybody. It's got a medal in everyone else's business. I mean, we've all got that. And there's some people got nothing going on in their lives. You know, it's the people that know exactly when the mailman's going to come by or the, you know, when the trash is going to be picked up because they don't have a lot of things going on.
Yeah, you get that one person that's always out and about, like first thing in the morning, watering their grass and observing people driving by or walking by just to see what they're up to.
Yeah, exactly. It's annoying, but you know, you've got to meddle in other people's business and impose themselves and just leave me alone, okay?
Yeah.
No, you don't need to poke your nose in my business, okay? Stop. It's like I learned in Scooby-Doo, right? If it weren't for you meddling kids, my life would be a lot easier.
That's true.
All right, let's see. What is next here? 6% of people in a long-distance relationship have this in common. What is it?
They like to be alone.
Nope. They have never met.
Oh, Manti Te'o.
Yeah, there you go.
I can't believe ESPN
That's got to be because of the internet, though, right? I think it's more now because of the internet. You can have, you can meet someone playing a video game or in a, you know, not a chat room, but on social media and not actually ever physically meet them, at least for a while, because of geographically being undesirable.
Yeah, that's true. That's totally
true. What was the Manti Te'o thing that you...
ESPN had that documentary that they resurfaced a few days ago. I think it was just before the national championship game with Manti Te'o and all that bullshit with him and his fake girlfriend.
One of the great nights of radio. We also had a Manti Te'o radio roast, which was awesome. But I found out I was in Vegas, and I was driving back from Vegas, and the story came out. I think it was Deadspin had the story back before they went full... crazy town on that website, but they had the story, and every update got better and better. It got better and better. The Brian Kelly handing out a game ball to Manti Te'o's fake dead girlfriend was outstanding. It was unreal. So wonderful.
Oh man,
he's still bouncing around the NFL. Where is he? Was he on New Orleans
Saints?
Yeah, on the Saints. Yeah, so they're still, he could go to the Super Bowl. Probably not, but he could this year. All right, 23% of women say this is their partner's worst habit. What is it?
Belching.
No, this seems odd to me. I've not done this. Leaving a wet towel on the bed.
Oh, you don't do that?
No. I usually leave the towel in the bathroom. I dry off in the bathroom and then leave the towel there.
Oh, man, I never did. But see, you use the same towel over and over again. That's why.
No. I have 3 towels. I use each twice and then I wash. Yeah. I have a 3-day towel rotation. Huh. But they're all in the bathroom. So I use Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, wash, and then there you go.
Gotcha. Yeah, I do that all the time. It's a bad habit of mine, especially because, you know, if I'm used to the towel, I get into bed. All of a sudden,
yeah. Yeah, I can understand. That would be annoying. The bed gets a little damp and you're laying down. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. In a new survey of single ladies, 30% said they are looking for a partner who is good at this.
Sex.
I'm guessing that's higher than 30%.
How about 30%? How about cooking?
No, it's actually being a handyman, being able to fix crap. Boy, I lose in that department. I lose. Are you a handyman, Gascon? Are you able to fix stuff?
Yeah, but I mean, with the power of YouTube, you can learn those things right away.
Yeah, you can fake it till you make it, right? You can fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, over 50% of men have lied about this on a first date. What is it?
Their sex count.
No. How much do they work out?
Oh.
I think everyone lies about that.
Not me. Not me.
Oh, here we go. West of the 405 popping up again.
You gotta get that stuff in, man.
The belligerent guest guy.
Listen, if there's one thing I do not lie about, it's one thing I don't lie about is working out. Yeah.
Okay, Adonis. Yeah, okay. Chiseled out of stone.
Hey, listen, you need some kind of therapy, right? So going out and seeing the beach a little bit or going to the park, you got to have that shit, especially in today's world, man.
Okay, whatever. Good for you. All right, let's see here. What do we got? 15% of people say they use this excuse to get out of exercising. There you go. This ties into the same thing.
Work. Oh, 15%?
Yeah.
Can't
work out because of blank.
My clothes are dirty.
No. The weather.
Oh.
The weather. Yeah. I drove by a gym. I was donating some stuff in Orange County. Some of my parents' stuff, some of the old clothes and stuff. So I was driving by the donation thing. There was a gym in Orange County, and it was open. I didn't realize they were open in Orange County, but there was a line around the building. I guess they could only allow a certain number of people in.
Yeah.
So you had all these people wearing their gym clothes, standing in line, looking at their smartphones, waiting to be allowed into the gym.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Couple of the gyms that I know about, they moved all of their stuff outside. And it's nearly the same thing where they're only having it tapered off for specific groups at a time. So you can only get in there for like 30 or 45 minutes a pop. And then after that, you got to get out. So
the gyms around where I live are not open at all. But I'm done with the gym. I got my treadmill now, Gascon, so I'm good. I don't need to go to the gym anymore.
You need some weights, man.
My wife's got a few weights in there. We got like a little mini Mallard gym, little home gym type thing. So, yeah.
Well, whatever works.
Oh, it's good. Listen, it's all right. I'll see the gym memberships. You know, pain in the ass, and I will miss the sauna. I used to like going in the sauna and the steam room. And
yeah,
all
steam
that
room's
stuff.
Great.
I love the steam room. Yeah, I sweat a lot. Get a good sweat going.
Yeah,
I'll deal with it. I'll survive. My life will go on. I've made it almost a year without going to the gym, so I think I'll be okay. In the 1930s, a guy could make $100 a week commission selling this. Which is the equivalent of $1,800 today. How about that? You could make $1,800 a week in the 1930s selling this.
Toasters.
Good Humor ice cream. Remember the famous Good Humor ice cream bars?
No.
You don't know?
No.
Oh, God, Gascon.
Lack
of knowledge. Bad job by you. The Good Humor ice cream truck, legendary. In the 1920s and 30s.
Man.
It was part of pop culture in America. I think up in the 50s.
Oh, yes, I do remember these.
Yeah. Come on,
I was
going
to be shamed. These were so good.
Yeah, they call them sales cars. They call them the ice cream trucks.
Yes. What was your favorite?
I love the chocolate chip sandwich, you know, with the I love that. I still love that. That's one of my favorite ice cream desserts. What was your favorite? Let me get a strawberry. You like that strawberry thing?
Yeah, strawberry was good. The cookies and cream was really good. Those were probably my favorites. But my grandma lived on the bootleg part of San Pedro.
Uh-huh.
So that ghetto part, they always had those ice cream trucks going up and down those streets. Always. Yeah.
And I remember the cookie, the Good Humor cone with it had the scoop of vanilla, but then it had the chocolate with the nuts on it.
Oh, there you go.
Right? Yeah, that was all. We always got that a lot. Then we'd experiment. It was always big. You play Little League, and then the ice cream truck, the Good Humor truck would come over.
Yeah, that's good. My bad.
Making good money though. How about that?
Yeah,
$1,800 a week selling ice cream.
Wow,
it's pretty good.
Yeah,
sign me up for that.
Then you could go from there to working at In-N-Out and being a manager, making $100,000 a year.
Yeah. Although, be careful, because there was a guy at the gym, who worked his way up from making French fries at In-N-Out into a management position, but then he got to a certain age and they poleaxed him. He got let go.
Ageism.
He's convinced it was because he was making too much money and he was too old and they got rid of him. So.
That sucks.
Yeah. All right. 80% of men admit they get embarrassed when they order this at a restaurant.
A shake.
What is it? Shake?
Yeah.
No. It's a type of drink.
Oh, can't be a martini. A cosmopolitan. Yeah, I guess it could be a martini. Cosmopolitan.
No. Diet soda.
What?
Yeah. Diet soda. You have no shame in your game, though. You order the diet soda.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't had diet soda in a long time. No, what? That's weird. Yeah.
Just point out, that's the deal. You know, just point that out.
Interesting.
All right, I got time for a couple more. According to a new survey, 8% of people say they never do this. What is it? It's an item that we all have, but they never do this with that item.
Pluck their nose hairs.
Clean their phone.
Oh, okay.
When's the last time you cleaned your phone?
I haven't cleaned it for a long time.
Neither have I.
Yeah.
Neither have I. All right, last one. Of the people who own one of these, 96%, overwhelming number, 96% say they'd buy another one next time they need one.
Fuck.
Is that the answer?
I'm trying to think of what this could possibly be.
What could it possibly be? I'll give it to you. Electric car.
Oh.
Now, I have a theory on this. All right. And I had an electric car that was a lemon. So I had to get rid of it. The Malamobile was a lemon. But the reason you would keep buying electric cars, typically you put the infrastructure in, put a charging unit in your house. You know, if you live in a house, you put a charging unit in. So why you invest that, you wouldn't want to keep using that power.
Right.
So you would get another electric car.
Yeah.
And I'd be willing to get another electric car once the mileage gets a little bit higher. Because I don't think they go, even the Teslas, what's the range on a Tesla?
That's a good question.
Why am I asking you?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have a Tesla.
That's one of the things you're missing west of the 405.
Yeah. This one says 402 miles for a Tesla Model S.
400 miles?
Yeah, 402 miles.
Yeah. That's all right. I mean, if they can get to 600, I'm in.
What do you get on your car right now?
500. I get like 500 on my car.
No way. You get 500?
Yeah. Yeah, it's around 500, give or take, depending how I drive. Yeah.
Man, I get like 285.
Yeah, well, it's a hybrid car that I have, but it's not an electric car.
You have a four bank.
When I had the electric car, it only went like, it was like 200 miles or something like that.
Damn.
That was it. And, I don't know. We go on long drives in the summer. You know, we'll go all over California and Nevada or whatever. And, you know, it's a pain in the ass to drive 200 miles and then stop for half an hour, and charge your car. And I was like, what good is that?
I need to borrow your car when I make long drives. Shit. You're making out like a bandit.
Well, I'm not driving anywhere now, so.
I know. But when you do, I mean, even to the studio, you're not.
Well, next time you get a car, Gaskin, you got a big truck. Why don't you try to find a car that's fuel efficient so when you drive to the end of California, you will not be spending as much on gas?
Because I usually put a lot of things in my car, and small sedans like the one you have just don't sit well with me.
Wow. All right. Well, you have to pick your battles.
But your car is reliable, too. You've had that for a long time, right?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I get serviced and whatnot. I've had no issues with this. Oh, I had one. And it was a malfunction that we got fixed. And since then, nothing's been bad about it. So
get your wife a Tesla. I want to see the missus with a Tesla. You got her a new kitchen. Now you can get her a Tesla.
Yeah. Doesn't Gottlieb have a Tesla?
I think
doesn't
he does.
Gottlieb have a? He lives in Orange County or something.
Yeah, lives in like Tustin. I think Rob Parker has either that or a Rover. I forget what Rob has.
Yeah,
I don't know. You guys just have these massive.
I don't have a I have a sedan that gets good gas mileage. I used to have I drove a F-150 for years.
Oh my
and I had
God.
An Explorer. I always said my mom, she was like she was very paranoid about me driving. You know, about accidents. So she's like, "You got to get a big car. You're a big guy. You got to get a big car." I was like, "Okay, mom, I'll get a big car." So I always had big cars. Only up until like the last maybe 10 years or so when I went over to the dark side.
Interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, that's it, guest count. We will have another mailbag podcast on Sunday. I know that's very exciting. Very excited about the mailbag. We will have that for you. Have a great rest of your Saturday, and we will catch you next time.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.